I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And welcome to a very strange and unusual Illegal Motion College Football Podcast. Due to a horrible ear condition for Matt, he's sidelined. And our coach, the offensive coordinator, also waylaid. We are like the Iowa State team at Ohio, where half the team got food poisoning and they were all puking on the sidelines. We are short staffed right now, but it's an awesome weekend of college football, so we wanted to get at least a little bit of content out there. So the third amigo in the second city, Josh Cook, rolling here on the Illegal Motion Podcast. I don't know if this counts as our official 319th episode. If it does, that's awesome, because Iowa City's three-digit area code is the 319, which makes sense. Anyway, we are here. I am, and you are listening. That's the we. We are here to talk about the fourth week of this young college football season. As always, we are brought to you by betonline.ag. They have every type of activity you can think of when it comes to betting on these games. They have money lines, spreads, you name it, over unders. They got it. So go on. Go over there, check out what they got, and find a way to play if that's your thing. All right, so we normally start with a one big thing, and it's supposed to be a three-way thing, but it's just a solo right now. But I do want to talk about something that Matt was going to talk about if he was not waylaid, and that is the unfortunate passing of the Dartmouth football coach. If you've been following the story at all, Buddy Tevens got hurt way back in like March. He was riding his bike and got hit by a car and, was waylaid in the hospital, going through a lot of recovery. It was a long road back, and he eventually succumbed to his injuries. And we talked a little bit about it last week, that Dartmouth was starting their season without him. But we didn't really talk about what he meant to the game. So Coach Tevens was a Dartmouth alum. He played there, and then he obviously coached there. But his coaching acumen was really impressive. So he did two stints there. He coached there for a while, had a really, really nice run. And then he actually got some higher value jobs. He, you know, he coached at Stanford and Tulane, didn't quite click in the higher ranks, and then went back to Dartmouth. And his second stretch at Dartmouth was really impressive. He rebuilt the program, basically. He kind of did what Bill Snyder did. He brought Dartmouth back originally, stepped away, came back, rebuilt it. He's Dartmouth's all-time winningest coach, but he's also an innovator. He did not want there to be full tackling in practice. He thought that was, you know, a risk to the student athlete, didn't see much point in it, used technology, robot tackling technique to learn how to tackle. He also looked outside the box. So like probably the most famous example of this is Mike Leach was never a football player or anything. Buddy Tevens looked for people that had like great minds that could coach this game. And he brought them on, including some of the first female assistant coaches. So his passing, very, very, very shocking. We knew he was in a pretty rough condition with that bike accident. But there had been hope that since he made it this far since March, that maybe he would have his condition improve. But he ultimately passed away. And that's pretty sad, obviously. So I hope I did Coach justice. Matt probably would have been a lot more eloquent with all that. So the second big takeaway that I have for you all comes from our own coach. And that is the very real concern about what in the world is happening with Alabama. And obviously there had been some cracks, but like Bryce was a pretty good quarterback. So kind of glossed over some of those. And I think we all just thought it's Alabama, it's business as usual, they'll just go. But their quarterback play has just been really, really, really suspect, obviously. And then their turnover in terms of assistant coaches, just, you know, the joke about it, it's the Nick Saban coaching center to like learn how to coach again. Well, once you lose that many coordinators, after a while, it's going to start to catch up to you. So, you know, some misevaluation. I think some of the COVID recruiting, there was not a lot of high school tape and stuff. We've seen a few programs have some high ranking recruits a few years ago, not really pan out. So I think that combined with the loss of assistance and combined with just this is not a vintage receiver core, the offensive line, not a vintage Alabama offensive line. And it really showed against South Florida, a team that we really did not expect a lot from. And, you know, obviously Alabama won the game 17-3. But, you know, you look at the passing numbers, 10 of 23 for 107 yards. I mean, that's just that's bad against any level of competition. If you're Alabama, whether it's a rebuilding team like UCF or a doormat in the ACC, or God forbid, if they did that against, say, LSU, Ole Miss, that game's coming up. So yeah, lots of concern over there for Alabama. And then my big takeaway from the weekend was over in my beloved Big Ten. Kind of an interesting development here for some of the top teams. And if you excuse me, I'm battling a little bit of a cold myself. So we are great, right? Isn't this amazing video? Aren't you so glad we do a video podcast? BetOnline.ag just must absolutely love us. Anyway, over in the Big Ten, Michigan has been a little bit of a weird team here to start the season. And I don't know if they are using these games as like glorified scrimmages and just kind of being a little disinterested, trying to You know, a little bit like last year, they kind of had some slow games to start the season before they really turned it around and just started dominating everyone. But through three games, they've won 30-3, 35-7, and 31-6, which all impressive defensive performances, obviously. But then you put some names to who they're playing: East Carolina, UNLV, and Bowling Green. I think most people were expecting these games to be like in the 40s, maybe even the 50s. And Michigan's just not getting there, really. And it's not for like lack of trying. So, for instance, their UNLV game, their single highest point output, they only had 21 points in the first half. It was kind of a slog. They only had 7 points in the first quarter. It was 7-0 after the first quarter. And then you look at the box score and it's like Blake Corum, 15 carries, 80 yards, you know, kind of like he couldn't hit the century mark against UNLV. Like you sort of expected them to be up like 21-0 after the first quarter type thing. So, you know, Michigan's kind of had some herky jerky play offensively in that UNLV game, even with putting up that many points. They had a turnover on downs. They started the second half with a punt. They had a second punt after their first score in the second half. So they threw an interception up 35-0, which obviously didn't matter, but gets this idea that things are just like, they're not as like well-oiled a machine as I think we all expected them to be three games into the slate. And that brings me to something that I'm really excited about. So I know in the past we've done kind of like it by time zone. I'm not really doing that. I'm just picking some games that jumped out at me. And one of the games that weirdly has jumped out to me is this upcoming Michigan Rutgers game. And that's why I wanted to talk about Michigan in my big takeaways, because they're hosting that Rutgers team. Rutgers is 3-0 also, but Rutgers has been a pretty stingy defense as well. They gave up 7 points to both Northwestern and Temple. They gave up a little bit more, 16 to Virginia Tech, but they've actually played tougher opponents than Michigan. And they're basically killing these teams by the same amount. So is Rutgers like, you know, building something? Or like, is Rutgers gonna win 7-8 games this year? Who knows? Is Michigan a little overrated, or like, is Michigan just gonna turn it on now that it's conference play, beat Rutgers by like 40? It's a really interesting game in the Big House this weekend, just because Rutgers has kind of exceeded expectations. I thought Rutgers would start the year 3-0. But I did not have them being three lopsided victories. And for Michigan, I had them starting 3-0, but I didn't have them being kind of stuck in the low 30s for their offense. So I'm really, really curious about that Rutgers-Michigan game. It stands out to me. Like I said, I'm excited for it. So what else is on the slate that here at Illegal Motion are we excited about? Well, there's a little game also featuring a Big Ten team. You might have heard of it. It's Michigan State against Maryland. No, I'm just kidding. It's the Ohio State game, obviously. Ohio State at Notre Dame. It's a top 10 showdown. And this is a really intriguing game for me because despite being top 10 teams, they haven't really like lived up to their potential, right? So Ohio State kind of a flat offensive performance from what we expected against Indiana. Indiana did a really good job of gobbling up a lot of clock and shortening that game. And then the following week, Ohio State kind of put up, you know, 30 points. It was like, whatever. Okay. They exploded for 63 against Western Kentucky. Is that the real Ohio State team? What about Notre Dame? Notre Dame's 4-0. They really haven't played anybody. Their toughest test was at NC State. But NC State lost so many players from last year, we all kind of expect them to take a step back. But anyway, that NC State game was a really, really close game. Notre Dame did not look like a top 10 team against NC State. So which of these teams can hit that potential? I think they both have a really high ceiling. But so far through three games for Ohio State and four games for Notre Dame, they clearly haven't hit their full potential. So that game, rightfully the cream of the crop for this slate. You cannot miss that game. It's a top 10 game at Touchdown Jesus. I mean, come on, that's college football fans' absolute dream. Another game, 2:30 slot. This one looks awesome. That's obviously Central. I'm rocking the Central time zone. The Colorado-Oregon game. I don't know where to even begin with this one. You have a two nationally ranked teams. It's still early in the season, but it legitimately has Pac-12 implications if Colorado continues to be as good as they have been. Colorado, we know the whole hoopla, Deion Sanders, Coach Prime. We were all kind of a little suspect. We didn't think you could really build a team overnight like they did. I think we all thought Colorado would be improved, but I certainly did not expect them to start 3-0. I would have had them losing to TCU. Not a surprise they beat Nebraska, not a surprise they beat Colorado State, but definitely a surprise to get that TCU game and the way they have done it. Now, TCU lost a lot of players. Nebraska, rebuilding. Colorado State, about 500 penalties. This is by far Colorado's toughest test. It's on the road in a very nasty stadium, Autzen Stadium. Will Colorado get exposed? Will they get waxed? And obviously they are missing their
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Rax Factor, their modern-day Niall Kinnick, who's playing both sides of the ball, obviously. They're in Travis Hunter. But they've had really good quarterback play from Coach's son, Baby Prime. I don't know if he has a nickname yet. But yeah, they're getting really good play from more than just Travis Hunter. But what will it be? It's the great mystery. I think people that are doubting Coach Prime are waiting for the other shoe to drop and kind of licking their lips, hoping that Oregon lays it on them. And then there's people like me. You know, I was kind of a doubter. I didn't think that Coach Prime was a bad coach per se. I just didn't know if you could turn a team around through the transfer portal seemingly overnight. And, you know, who knows? Maybe Colorado will end the season 3-9 and we'll be like, oh, that was kind of funny when they were 3-0 nationally ranked. But it's electric, right? These are the intriguing games. And being the Iowa homer that I am, I can't help but think way back in the 2002 season, Iowa went undefeated in the Big Ten. And we were kind of this like, who are they? We're coming off an Alamo Bowl win. No one really like knew what is this Iowa team? Are they a true contender or not? We go to the Big House. Everyone expects Michigan to kill us. And we flip the script. We gave Michigan one of their worst home defeats in school history. That game was our coming out party. It was, you know, our moment to say, hey, we've turned this thing around. Iowa football's back. Maybe Colorado gets that this week. You know, maybe this time next week we're talking about, oh my God, can you believe Oregon was a top 10 team? That one is appointment TV. I'm so excited for that one. And I'm really glad that the Big Ten slate has terrible game during 2:30 slot. There we go. I can watch that guilt-free because with the blog, BigTenAccounting.com, I should kind of be watching Big Ten football, but I won't be at 2:30. Another game out in the Pac-12. It's the Pac-2 title game, as people have been calling it. Nationally ranked Oregon State, 14th in the country, at 21st ranked Washington State there in the Palouse. I'm going to watch the game, obviously, but like, I just feel bad for both programs. I hope they all have fun and I hope they all feel really good about the game. But the fact of the matter is, if you haven't watched Oregon State yet, you're missing out on a really, really fun team. Some of the stuff they're doing with DJU is amazing. They had like a backwards lateral screen pass out to an offensive lineman to score a touchdown last week. Really fun, innovative stuff. Taking a page from Oregon and Bo Nix, they're just having fun out there. Washington State, if you haven't seen them, they kind of made Wisconsin look soft. Washington State kind of looked like a bully against the Badger offensive line. So kind of interesting with this team. And now I know it was a couple weeks ago, but if you don't remember that Wisconsin Washington State game, here's a few stats for you. So Wisconsin, 29 carries for just 91 rushing yards. They really struggled. They held Braylon Allen to 20 yards in that game. And then, you know, they won the all important like turnover battle, kind of a big deal. They had three takeaways against Wisconsin, just, you know, completely embarrassed Wisconsin, to be quite honest with you. Wisconsin just looked really, really lost out there. And, you know, it was 24-9 at halftime. And Wisconsin made like a little push there. They scored 13 points in the third quarter. But even with that, never felt in doubt. And I know Matt felt the same way. Like, it did not feel like this Wisconsin team was coming back in that one. So Washington State, like, they're just kind of a nasty team. And if they can get those takeaways again against Oregon State, that's going to be a fun one. So got those two Pac-12 games, can't miss TV. Got that Notre Dame game, can't miss TV. And then finally, I can't not talk about Iowa. We're playing at Penn State. This is the 19th anniversary of one of my all-time favorite Iowa-Penn State games, the infamous 6-4 game. And if you don't remember that one, because, well, it was 19 years ago, basically, Penn State was like not a very good team in 2003, 2004. They went 11-1 in 2005. But there's this weird like two-year dip under the Paterno regime where they just really struggled, but they struggled offensively. They had a nasty defense. It was back with that defensive coordinator, Bradley, not the bad defensive coordinator, not the one in prison, but Tom Bradley was their defensive coordinator. They had nasty defense, but that year their offense was averaging like 7.5 points in Big Ten play. So it was a complete defensive struggle. Iowa had a really good defense, but a very classic Ferentz offense was sort of up and down. So it was going to be a defensive shootout, already. But then Mother Nature threw a little wrinkle at us, and it was just awful weather. Wind like you couldn't imagine, rain like you couldn't imagine. It was just disgusting. And quickly became apparent that it was going to be a defensive struggle. The first points of the game were scored when Iowa snapped the ball over their punter's head to give Penn State a 2-0 lead. Iowa hit two first half field goals to go up 6-2 at halftime. And then the second half was just nothing. Now Iowa in the fourth quarter, 8 minutes left. They are at their own goal line. So it's like a 4th and 18 from like the 0-yard line is what the box score says. We're at like the 1-inch line. Well, if you punt it, you're going to give Penn State ball, Penn State field position basically inside the field goal territory already. So you're basically conceding a field goal, quite possibly a touchdown. Not a lot of room to operate, probably could be a block. So Ferentz calls safety, says just snap it to the punter, punter go out the back of the end zone. That's what Iowa does. And we're like, there's 8 minutes left. A field goal beats you now. Like we could lose the game 8-6. But we did. Actually, it'd be 7-6 math. Anyway, I digress. So Iowa takes the safety with 8 minutes left. We do the free kick. It flips the field position. Very next play, Penn State throws an interception. We run off like 5 minutes, punt it. 2 plays later, Penn State fumbles. We recover, eat up the rest of the clock, win the game 6-4. Infamous game. That's like the classic Ferentzian 6-4 victory. Very, very nice win. Iowa goes on to be like co-champions of the Big Ten. Next year, Penn State comes back a lot better. Like I said, they go 11-1 in 2005. Anyway, why am I bringing all this stuff up? Well, Iowa's playing back at Penn State again. Mother Nature is whipping up a storm. The forecast for the game ain't pretty. Penn State has a really good defense. Iowa's offense, not quite as good or as improved as I was hoping. They just lost Luke Lachey for the season, Achilles injury. He is the next tight end to be drafted for Iowa, so we thought. I feel awful for the kid. Just, you know, what a terrible, terrible injury luck to have. So Iowa's going to have to kind of figure a few things out. They do have Eric All, the Michigan transfer. He's looked really good. So he slides up to TE1, but tight end 2 through 3, 4, not quite as well established there. So it's going to be another real grind, I think. You know, Penn State has the offensive talent to blow us out, but between the weather and Iowa's pretty rock solid defense, the over-under is only 40 for a reason. And Penn State's defense is no slouch either. Penn State comes in with a really, really good defense. The interesting thing for the Penn State perspective is last week they beat Illinois 31-14. It was a 17-point game. But so they win this game, and it's like not actually a very impressive win, because Illinois couldn't hold on to the ball. Illinois had 5 turnovers. So Penn State was held to like under 400 yards and only 31 points, which doesn't sound all that great. But when you factor in that Illinois had 5 turnovers, usually when there's a 5-0 turnover margin, you're expecting it to be one of those like 40-50 point games. And Penn State just didn't get there. Penn State's running attack has been a real issue the last few years, and it's definitely gotten better this year, but it's still like not amazing. So like their leading rusher Allen has a 5 yard per pop average, which is okay. Like, you know, it's not terribly explosive. But, you know, he's a nice running back. He just hasn't, like, you know, ripped off some of those runs that you would really expect him yet. And then their backup, Singleton, 4.3. So, you know, between their two leading rushers, they're at like 360 yards and only averaging like 5 yards a carry. It's fine, but I don't think it's what Coach Franklin was expecting. So as a result, Drew Allar, their quarterback, he's been called on to do a lot. He's got 737 passing yards already through three games. And I just don't think that that's what the balance Penn State really was hoping for this year. So I don't know exactly why, why Aller's attempting 33 passes against Illinois. Not sure why that's the case, other than the offensive line just not blocking and creating running lanes that they were really hoping for yet. In terms of that Illinois game, how did Penn State look running the ball? They looked fine. They ended with 164 yards on 40 carries, but their leading rusher, Allen, again, 54 yards on 13 carries. It's like, it's okay. It's okay. I'm not like jumping up for joy, right? So this Penn State team, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Obviously the talent, Penn State's the more talented team. I think that's fair to say. Coaching wise, you know, Franklin's damn good coach. Kirk Ferentz, really, really long track record, 25 years, 20 plus years track record. So the head coaching matchup, you know, is a good one. Obviously Penn State has a pretty big advantage at offensive coordinator. Everyone does against Iowa, spoiler alert. But then you get to defensive coordinator, and it's like, you know, Phil Parker for Iowa, he's been pretty dang good. So it comes down to really, like, if Mother Nature is kicking up something fierce, like it's looking like it's going to, then who knows? 19th anniversary of 6-4. My worry is, if Penn State's offense gets going, it'll be a little bit like the Michigan or Ohio State game last year, where the defense just hits a wall. They get too tired. Second half, play start getting ripped off longer and longer. And that's all she wrote. But it's going to be a fun one. And obviously, you know, Iowa's my team, so I'm going to be glued to my chair for that one. So, all right. Thank you all for bearing with me as I get a little bit of content. We didn't want to go a week without at least making an appearance, because, you know, we care about this show. We care about college football, and we hope that this is a fun show for all of you, however you listen to us, whether you're watching us or in the car driving to work or whatever. We like to do that. So with that, I'm going to Oh my God, I buried the lead. I'm in control of the show and I buried my own lead. Arkansas at LSU, little rivalry game. They play for a trophy that has the two states shaped together. We know LSU's issue. They got blown out by Florida State, but they've looked a little bit better the last 2 weeks. They dropped 70 on Grambling. Okay, not much to say about that. But then they absolutely just made Mississippi State look like a JV team. They just absolutely crushed the Bulldogs down there in Stark Vegas. So they're 2-1. Arkansas looked dominant against Western Carolina. Not quite as dominant against Kent State. And it had a really interesting back and forth loss to BYU. Both teams come in 2-1. Probably not the biggest rival for other team for each other. I think Arkansas, even though they don't really play them very often, probably looks back at some of those old Southwest Conference rivalries. There was a famous game between Arkansas and Texas way back in the Nixon administration. don't get Arkansas fans talking about that one. So I don't know if Arkansas really considers LSU to be their biggest rival, but hey, they play for a trophy. It's going to be an interesting game. KJ Jefferson for Arkansas, he can do a lot out of that quarterback position. Can he do it against the LSU defense, though? And that's kind of going to be the story of that game. All right, I'm signing off for real. Thank you for bearing with a very bare bones show. Appreciate you watching us, listening to us. Appreciate betonline.ag giving us some sponsorship. But we will be back next week, full strength. That's the plan, at least. And enjoy the weekend. Go Hawks.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.